Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on Jacked Break, Jungle Kick Weight. Today we're making a break feel bigger, heavier and more focused without losing that classic jungle movement. That's the whole idea here. We are not replacing the break. We're reinforcing it. That's a really important drum and bass mindset, because the break brings the energy, the shuffle, the attitude, and the history, while the kick layer helps the whole thing land harder on a club system. If you've ever loaded a break and thought, this is cool, but it needs more punch, this lesson is for you. We're going to stay beginner-friendly and use stock Ableton tools only. By the end, you'll know how to layer a kick under a break, keep it tight and mono, shape it with EQ and saturation, and arrange it so the drums feel more alive across your track. Let's start with the source material. Pick a break that already has movement. In jungle and DNB, you want something with groove, clear snare hits, and some space around the low end. A classic Amen-style break, a chopped roller break, or any loop with a strong top and not too much sub already baked in can work well. Set your tempo around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want a safe starting point, 172 BPM is a great place to begin. That gives you the classic jungle and roller feel right away. Now loop one or two bars and listen closely. Don't try to fix everything. Just identify what the kick is doing. Ask yourself, is it too quiet, too soft, getting masked by the bass area, or lacking a bit of body? Sometimes the break already has a kick feel, but it just doesn't hit hard enough once the bass line comes in. That's where the layer comes in. Create a new MIDI track and load a clean kick sample into Simpler, or into a drum rack pad if you prefer. For a beginner, Simpler is a really easy route. Choose a kick with a short tail, a clear transient, and a solid low body. You do not want a long boomy kick here. In DNB, long tails can smear into the bass and make the whole groove feel muddy. If you're using Simpler, switch it to classic mode and make sure the sample starts right on the transient. Trim off any silence at the front. Even a tiny bit of dead space before the hit can make the kick feel late and soft. A good beginner approach is to start with just one kick layer. Keep it simple. You can always add more complexity later, but one well-placed kick can do a lot. Now here's the big thing. Do not copy the kick layer onto every hit in the break. That's one of the easiest ways to make the groove stiff. Instead, place the kick only where it actually helps. Reinforce the main downbeats. Reinforce the spots where the break feels weak. Let the original break keep its own motion. A classic jungle approach is to layer the kick on beat one, or on a few key landing points in the phrase. In a two-bar loop, maybe you reinforce the first beat of each bar, but leave the rest of the break alone so it can breathe. That contrast is what keeps it sounding like jungle instead of a rigid four-on-the-floor pattern. Zoom in on the arrangement and line the kick up tightly with the break. In drum and bass, timing matters a lot. If the kick is even slightly late, the low end can feel lazy. If you want a little human feel, you can nudge it just a hair late, but only by a tiny amount. Usually, tight is better. Now we shape the kick layer so it sits inside the break instead of fighting it. Drop EQ8 onto the kick layer first. Start gently. If the kick has too much click, roll off or reduce some top end above about 6 to 10 kHz. If it needs more body, preserve or lightly boost around 55 to 80 hz. If it sounds boxy, take a small cut around 200 to 400 hz. Keep those moves subtle. Think small, useful corrections, not big dramatic surgery. If you're hearing mud in the low mids, a little cut there can clean things up fast. In drum and bass, clarity in the low end is everything. Next, add saturator after EQ8 if the kick feels too polite. Try just a few dB of drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB, and turn soft clip on. Saturation is one of the best ways to make a kick feel denser and more present without simply making it louder. That matters a lot in DNB, because your kick has to compete with sub and still translate on smaller speakers. If you want a bit more glue, add drum bus after that. Don't go wild. A little drive, maybe around 5 to 15%, can help the kick feel more connected and a little harder. Keep crunch low unless you want grit, and be careful with boom. Boom can make the kick blur into the bass if you overdo it. In this style, tight and controlled usually wins. Now we handle mono. Add utility to the kick layer, and set width to 0% if the kick is stereoed or feels too wide. Kick weight should be centered. That keeps the sub area stable and avoids phase issues. If you group the break and kick together later, you can use another utility on the group to check the overall width, but you usually only need the kick itself to be mono. The break tops can stay a little wider if that's how the sample sounds. This is a really important DNB habit. Mono low end matters. If the kick and bass are fighting in stereo, The groove can disappear depending on where you listen. Centered low frequencies keep the track solid on club systems and headphones alike. Now do a quick reality check. Turn the kick layer on and off while the bass line is playing. This is one of the fastest ways to hear whether the layer is actually helping. If the groove collapses without it, you're probably in the right zone. If the layer sounds amazing solo but messy with the bass, that usually means it's too loud, too long, or too sub-heavy. And here's a really good beginner tip. Turn the kick layer down more than you think, then slowly bring it up. In drum and bass, loud low end can be impressive in solo but muddy in context. You want support first, not ego. Also, listen at very low volume for a moment. If you can still feel the kick presence quietly, that's a great sign. It means the layer has useful transient shape and body, not just brute force. Once the sound is working, move into arrangement. Start with a lighter intro. Maybe the break is filtered or the kick layer is muted or very low. Then bring the full kick layer in for the drop. In a switch up, reduce it again for a few bars so the groove breathes. Then, when the next drop comes back, let the kick hit harder again. You can automate utility gain, EQ8 frequency, saturator drive, or drum bus drive. Even small automation moves can create a lot of energy. That's a classic DNB arrangement trick. Instead of constantly adding more notes, you change drum density and impact over time. Now group the break and kick layer into a drum group. Listen to the full groove in context with your bass line, any atmospheres, hats, rides, or ghost percussion. If the bass line is big and sustained, you may need to trim a little low mid from the kick, so the two parts don't blur together. If the kick disappears when the bass comes in, try a little more saturation or a small gain boost before reaching for huge EQ changes. Place the drums into a clear structure. For example, an 8-bar intro with lighter drums, a 16-bar drop with the full kick layer, a short 2 or 4-bar switch up where the kick drops away, and then a strong re-entry. That phrasing matters a lot in drum and bass, because the energy is fast and repetitive, so the listener needs clear changes to stay engaged. When you have it working, save the setup. Save the drum group or drum rack as a preset. Give it a useful name like Jacked Break Kick Layer or Jungle Break Weight. Keep the chain simple. EQ8, Saturator, Drum Bus, Utility. That way, next time you start a tune, you can load the workflow instantly and just swap in a new kick sample. Before we wrap, let's cover a few common mistakes. The first one is layering a kick on every break hit. That usually makes the groove stiff. Reinforce only the important beats. The second is choosing a kick that's too long. Shorter is usually better here, because long tails can blur into the bass line. The third is boosting too much sub. Gentle EQ and controlled saturation are usually more effective than huge low-end boosts. The fourth is forgetting mono control. Keep the kick centered, especially in the low end. And the fifth is overcompressing the break. You want punch, but you also want swing, air, and movement. If you squash the life out of the break, you lose the whole point of the style. If you want to take this further, try a darker kick for deeper jungle or neuro-inspired rollers. Try a second very quiet layer for click if the kick needs more definition. Or duplicate the kick and split it into a low-pass thump layer and a high-pass attack layer. Just keep both subtle. The goal is still one tight drum sound, not a pile of competing samples. You can also experiment with arrangement tricks like filtering the break in the intro and opening it up at the drop, or cutting the kick layer out for a few bars before slamming it back in. In jungle and DNB, those little drum changes can create a huge amount of tension. Here's a quick practice challenge. Build a 2-bar loop at 174 BPM. Load a break, add one clean kick sample, and layer the kick only on the strongest downbeats. Use EQA to make a small cut around 250 to 350 Hz if needed. Add saturator with just a little drive. Put utility on the kick and make it mono. Then compare the break alone, the break plus kick, and the break plus kick plus bass. Make one automation move in the arrangement, like reducing the kick layer in the last bar. Then bounce or freeze it and listen again. Your goal is simple. Make the break feel heavier without losing its jungle movement. So remember the core idea. A jacked break gets heavier when you reinforce the original kick, not replace it. Keep the added kick short, centered, and selective. Use EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and utility to add body, density, and mono stability. And use arrangement to create tension and release so the drums feel alive. That's the move. Now go build that loop, listen in context, and make the break hit with weight.